ready for transformation as you listen to God's word through his servant. For inquiries, contact the Seed Sowers Ministry on 080-666-27754 or 090-5221-6374. Or you can email us at theseedsowersministry18@gmail.com. Be blessed as you listen.
Right, Lord, we ask you to please help us. The entrance of thy word, give it light, give it understanding. In Jesus' name. Amen. Discipleship and mentoring series. So we have discipleship, the pathway to discovery of purpose. In Matthew chapter 28, from verse 18 to 20, who is reading for us? Lord, we thank you. Lord, we thank you. Lord, we thank you. I don't know about you, but may I like the Lord when he answers some prayers that people call small prayers. I really desire every light. But I wanted to see our faces so that we don't sleep. We like the fan. Yes, I know ladies will like the fan. Amen. Okay. Can it be reduced a little? Just a little. Is it possible?
Yes.
Discipleship, the pathway to discovery of purpose. In Matthew chapter 28, from verse 18 to 20, what did he say? Who's reading for us? Matthew 28. Thank you, sir. Yeah, I think it's okay. At least just to give us a good ventilation. Sister, sorry about that. I think it's okay. That's good. Matthew 28, 18 to 20. Yes?
Jesus, undeterred, went right ahead and gave his charge. God authorized and commanded me
to commission you.
Go out and train everyone you meet.
Do what?
Go out and train everyone you meet. Far and near. In this way of life. Marking them by baptism.
In the threefold name.
Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Yes.
Then instruct them. In the practice of all I have commanded you. I will be with you as you do this. Day after day. Right up to the end of the
Now, I'm not tired. Even if I have to preach this message 500 million times till I die, I'm not tired of saying what Jesus said. I'm placing emphasis on what Jesus placed emphasis on. It does not matter what everybody is saying. But when I see Jesus say something, that is where I want to place my own emphasis. Matthew 11:29. We just want to first read the scriptures and then we'll come back to it. Matthew 11:29.
Are you tired? Worn out.
That's message translation, I guess.
Yes, sir.
Great.
Worn out. Born out on religion.
Okay.
Come to me. Get away with me.
Yes.
And you will recover your life.
I
will show you how to take a real rest.
I will show you how to take a real rest.
Walk with me.
And walk with me.
Watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythm of grace.
Yes.
I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you.
Hallelujah. Yes. Can I have that translation? Verse 29.
Take my yoke and put it on you. And learn from me. Because I am gentle and humble in spirit. And you will find rest.
Yes. Is that all?
It's really verse 32.
Okay, finish it up.
Okay. For the yoke I will give you is easy.
And
the load I will put on you is light.
I like that. The what?
The load I will put on
you. King James said, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. That one called it a load. I'm still going to put something on you. You don't have a free neck. There's something you get when you come to me. It's a load. But it's not the kind of load that you carried before that bores your life and then shatters you completely. This kind of load is light. It's not that kind of load. Jesus said to his disciples,
If anyone wants to come with me,
if you want to come with me,
he must forget self.
He must forget self.
Carry his cross,
and what?
Follow me.
Yes, sir. Yes, a message.
Then Jesus went to walk on his disciples.
He went to walk on his disciples.
Anyone who intends to come with me,
if you intend to come with me,
has to let me lead.
He had to let me lead.
You are not in the driver's seat.
I am.
Don't run from suffering. Embrace it. Follow me. And I will show you how.
Follow me and I will show you how. Don't run from suffering. Embrace it. Follow me and I will show you how. Luke 14:26. You see, we are deliberately looking at scriptures so that we can have an holistic view of what Jesus is saying. Let me hear that, Susan, now. Luke 14:26.
Those who come to me cannot be my disciples unless they love me more than they love Father.
If you want to follow me, you cannot be my disciple except you love me more than you love Father.
Mother, wife,
children,
brothers and sisters,
and themselves as well. Hallelujah. Now, look at the Bible. Let me do a general introduction and I will ask for a contribution. I find out that in the body of Christ today, we are omitting something. And it's not helping the purpose of God. Very clear instructions from Jesus, but it's as if somehow, somewhere, another thing are taking over. And we are not emphasizing the things Jesus emphasized. We saw from all the scriptures that was read that Jesus was emphasizing on a complete followership. Following him to the point of death. It's not just following him. A following to the point of death. Matthew 11:29 talks about, take my yoke upon you, learn of me. And I found out that our dear sister Zipporah can tell us. I don't know if she has seen that before. But when I was in Jigawa State, I saw that. Two animals yoked together. All those our brothers still use it in the farm and for Abby.
Yes, sir.
Now, with what do they use to yoke them? Is it metal or wood?
Metal.
It's metal. That yoke upon the two cows is wood. It's wood. They will put them together and you see two animals walking together towards a common cause. And Jesus used the same replica that, look, there's still something you are going to bear. It's not a free neck. Now, sometimes we overemphasize the teaching of freedom. That when you are saved, you are saved. He whosoever the Son set free is free indeed. It has a base. The freedom that Christ gives you as a base is a freedom from the tyranny of the devil, but it's not a freedom unto doing what you like, unto doing what you desire. It's a freedom to take something. Is you are free from something in order to take up something. If we don't explain it like that, we don't deepen the understanding in people, you will understand that people just, oh, hallelujah, I've received grace. I'm just free. Like my two-year-old daughter, I was shocked yesterday when she was singing, I'm free indeed. In Christ I'm free indeed. I was like, hey, that's serious. But it's a freedom to receive another yoke. So you see that you don't receive Jesus. And when you receive Jesus, I see someone who received Jesus who does not have the passion and the eagerness to save others. It's not there. There are a lot of so-called I love you, Lord, powerful, powerful love songs that does not translate into experience and practical getting souls saved. Practically releasing that song, turning that song into experience. I have seen that we are quietly omitting what Jesus said, take my yoke, and it's a wood. You saw it again in Matthew 16:24. He said, anyone that wants to be my disciple must take up his what? His cross. His cross. Hope you know that cross too. It's a wood. I'm just using symbols here. It's a cross. It's a wood. And it will surprise you that when Isaac was going to the Mount of Moriah to be offered, what did he carry also? Wood. Hope you know Abraham laid the wood on him. So you find that the same way Isaac was going to the mount with the wood, Jesus was going also to the mount of Golgotha with the wood. You see the replica of what God did through Abraham and Isaac, the same God doing it with Jesus Christ, his son. Hope you know the term God used for Abraham is Abraham. Take now thy son, thy only son. Sometimes you wonder where is Ishmael. As far as God is concerned, that's not it. Take now thy son, thy only son whom thou lovest. So also God took his only son. And it will shock you that Isaac was offered on the Mount of Moriah. Jesus was offered on the same mount. By theological research. The same terrain where Isaac was offered, that was the same place he was offered. Hope you know that Isaac and Abraham had to travel far. They went to look for it for 3 days. Are you following this? You find out that Jesus also had to go out of the city. He bore it. He bore it out of the city. So, and Jesus said, none of you will follow me that his own neck will be empty. You must carry something. There must be a cross. And that's why message says, don't run from suffering. Embrace it. And what?
Embrace it.
What he calls suffering is what King James calls the cross. But where is the teaching of embracing suffering in the church today? Christianity is bearing the cross, willingness to follow him to suffer if need be. It's not just enjoy God thing. You know? We will enjoy God. But there is something to bear. We have removed it. And I put it to you clearly. Who made this statement? Thank God it was not Paul. Thank God it was not Peter. Thank God it was not James. Thank God it is Jesus our Lord. Very important. It is this teaching that allows us to advance the course of missions. Is this one. If you look at the present day understanding, present day teaching, he does not push the agenda of missions to the point of being willing to die. Don't run from suffering. Embrace it. In that translation, he said, if you cannot love father, if you cannot love me more than you love father, mother, and your life, you must love me above your life, above what you are pursuing. You must love me above ministry. You must love me above all things. And I found out that Jesus said, if you love me, you obey my commandments. So love is not in talk. Love is not in song. Love is in doing. If you love me, you obey. Love is demonstrated in obedience, not in talking, not in singing. Why do I say this to you, my friends? I say this because I found out that we must not repeat the same error that we found coming into the last age. We must not repeat the error of speaking and not doing. Speaking and not acting. Discipleship. Jesus demanded clearly And I saw, look at that message translation in Matthew 28:18-20. He said, go out and train everyone you meet. And I thank the Lord for that language. Not go and tell everyone you meet. Go and train. You train. You teach how to do. You practically show them the way. And that's why I say, go and teach all nations. And the root word teach there is to make disciples. And to make disciples is to make pupils, is to train people. I found out that, you see, when we have something like, I don't even know if it is my mind that is speaking or if it's the Holy Spirit that is speaking. What's the problem? Nobody has trained you. It's not a big issue. There is no mystery in heaven or earth that people call, oh, the mystery. There's no mystery anywhere. The mystery is Christ. And Christ has revealed himself through death and resurrection. And the Holy Spirit in us was given to guide us into all those mysteries. Are you following me? As far as God is concerned, everything, do you know that if you are a student of the Bible, everything was mystery until the curtain tore? Are you following? Everything was mystery. You remember Paul said, great is the mystery of godliness. And what did he go? What did he do? He went ahead to explain it. He said that Christ died and he rose and is revealed in the world as the mystery. So what was mystery before the curtain tore, before Christ died? It was mysterious in the Old Testament. But immediately Christ died, God desired to reveal his purposes. And the only legitimate thing he wants to reveal for this dispensation as at this time is the deaths, the burial, the resurrection of Christ, his ascension, and the heralding of him until the new age and the new dispensation, when he will choose to now reveal himself for that to us. All the mystery we want to talk about is in Christ. There is no special mystery. Nobody should try to call any special. There is no special mystery. Great is the mystery of godliness. It's clear in the Bible. And Christ is the only one the Father wants to reveal. So, when you say, well, I don't even know how can one gain access into the spirit realm, you've not been trained. Amen? Oh. Go out and train everyone you meet in what? Look at that translation. Look at that message put it. He said, in the practice of this way of life. So, you see, our problem is we've not been made. You see, what this one used as made, may go and train. NIV call you go and make disciples. You make. And it takes time to make things. It takes time to train somebody. Go and make. That means everyone is not supposed to have problem when they are trained how to do it. Oh, I don't know if this person is my husband. No, you've not been trained on how to know. I don't even know what God is asking me to do. You need to be trained. You don't need to be told. You need to be trained. You see, the problem we are trying to tell people 14 steps to this, it does not work. It's to be trained. It's to be taught and showed out, made into it. Go into all the world and make disciples. The root word teach all nations means make pupils that we obey all. And I thank the Lord. Look at the way the Bible puts it. He said, go and make disciples of all nations, teaching them to observe all I told you, not teaching them to observe something I will reveal later. Are you following this? Teach them to observe all I told you. That means Jesus, first of all, passed his instruction to mortal men. And he told the mortal men to pass it on to others. No wonder when Cornelius wanted to be saved, he had to be sent back to Peter. Are you following me? Why can't the angels just speak to him? Why? Because this training is not meant for spirit beings. Is that men must train men in this way of life. Are you following me? When Jesus appeared to Paul on the way to Damascus, how come Paul said, you remember that story, Acts chapter 9, how come Paul said, oh, who are you, Lord? And what must I do? I thought Jesus Christ should tell him right away what he must do. Do you remember what Jesus said, Sir Susan? Do you remember what did he say? Arise. Go into the city. And it shall be told, Jesus, tell him right away, go into all the world and make the sign. It is men that must raise men in this way of life. So forget that I have observed that even the encounters of Christ happening in northern Nigeria and in some Islamic lands, God used to wait for a Christian to come and show those Muslims this way of life. Initial encounter, not enough. It takes a disciple to raise another disciple. So, we see the church going into conferences, meetings, programs, telling us, listen to this. It's very important. You can't know how until you are showed how. You can't know how until you are showed how to. It's the way of the scriptures. And excuse me, it's not just somebody to just tell you, oh, this is what to do, just follow. No, no, no. This is practical show. Is that you are shown the practical way to live this life. You don't understand consecration. You are to be trained how to be consecrated. You will know how to do it. Excuse me. How many times have we had messages on holiness, purity of heart, and them all of that? And you still see people struggle with sin. Huh? Are you following what I'm talking about?
Yes.
Why? You are only telling him about purity. You are not showing him how to be pure. You don't tell. I hope you know that the Bible commanded, a parent should train up a child in the way he should go. Not tell a child. Parents are telling children what to do. Bible didn't say you should tell them. Bible said train up a child in the way he should go. Not the way he wants to go. It's the way he should go. And if it's about the way he should go, it means God must have revealed to you the way he should go. And you have to tell him. Now, if you train him in the way he should go, he will go. Bible knows he will go. See, well, I don't even know why my child is stubborn. He will be stubborn because you didn't train him up in the way he should go. You only kept telling him what he should do. And that is the same thing scripture commanded. Discipleship is the missing factor in the body of Christ. It's painful. When there's an opportunity to go and die for the cause of the gospel, how many people should be willing to go and die? A lot of us. Why? We've been trained to follow Christ to death, if need be. So you see all these scriptures emphasizing one point. First, in Matthew 28, verse 18 to 20, he says, go into all the world and make disciples. I'm shocked. Message said, train everyone you meet. Eh? Everyone you meet him, train him. Eh? You meet him, you train him. You meet him, so start training him. So you see, the duty of the church is to raise men and women in such a way that you cannot mistake them for being a Christian. It's not the idea of, I'm not sure. God, these Christians now, we don't even know who is genuine. That's a wrong appellation on the body of Christ. We don't even know who is genuine. No. If we follow the template of scriptures, they will know who is genuine. Why? We are supposed to be trained to bear the marks of Christ. So, I want you to please settle on the words of Christ. I don't find out that. Look. When people receive Christ, I'm sure you will say Christ is called the Messiah, the Deliverer. He's called Jesus the Christ, the one anointed to deliver us from all tyranny of sin and sickness. Why do people still commit sin? I'm sure somebody answered altar call. Altar call. Hey, altar call. And somebody plays and says, I surrender all. All. He surrenders all, but he goes back keeping some. I'm shocked he leaves there and he says, Pastor, I don't even know what is happening. I'm still struggling with that masturbation. You see the challenge? The challenge is that he's not been, they only told him about the gospel. They just told him. He's not telling. Because what he told them is, go and make disciples. He said, teaching them to observe. You see, teaching them to what? So every teaching of Christ should be what? Should be what? Observed. And how do you observe? You observe it in a life. So every teaching of Christ is not first spoken. If it's spoken, it can lose its power until it is observed. It does not become a lifestyle. Until the teachings of Christ is observed, it does not become a lifestyle. So what do we find? We find people running 5 services, 10 services, 25 services, and it's, I bless the Lord for those ministries, and I thank God for some of our fathers. We cannot belittle them because their sacrifice in this country is unparalleled. But at the same time, there is an omission. Somebody goes to work Monday to Saturday. Are you with me now? The only day he has to hear any sound teaching is Sunday. And you still do for him 1 hour 30 minutes. And in the 1 hour 30 minutes is to hear message for 30 minutes. Or 40 minutes. The rest is, oh, pay this money, pay that offering, pay this. And then, he shares the grace. And where do you think he's running to? He's going back home to go and watch African Magic. How do we have disciples who can follow him to death? The success of the church is that the church is willing to bear the cross with Jesus and to go to that same mountain of Moriah to go and die if need be. That's the success of the body of Christ. So we see that discipleship. Let me ask you, are you a disciple or you're a Christian? Though we should not use that statement, because a Christian is supposed to be a disciple. But hope you know that the word Christian only evolved later in scriptures. It's not in scriptures. It was not at inception, I mean. It was only later that, when they observed them, they said, they are like Christ. They are Christians. So it's not a name from us. It's a name from the world. The world observed. What was it that we were all called? Disciples. Hope you know in Acts chapter 9, after the Lord encountered them and Ananias, encountered Paul. The Bible wanted to introduce Ananias, the Bible says, and there was a certain disciple, not a certain Christian. There was a certain disciple named Ananias. So the introduction of heaven is disciple, not Christian. God does not know you as a Christian. He knows you as a disciple or as a rebel. He said that you are a disciple or you are not a disciple. Leave the world to call you a Christian. Christ's statement, heaven's recommendation is that, is he a disciple? That's what the Lord is saying. Because that's the way they introduced Ananias. There was a certain disciple. The language of the early church is, oh, he's also a disciple. Oh, Sister Susan is a disciple. So, this is very, very important. We miss this point, you will have problem in your own Christian walk. You will. How do you see people? Let if I may ask you, please be strengthened. You know you are my friends. If I see you sleep now, you just stand up. Amen. Once you doze, you stand up. I'll put water on your face. Praise the Lord. Amen. You see? You know, when we're coming, I was like, Lord, if this journey is not, why are we even going? The Lord said, I sent you. We went through not hell, because that's not hellfire. But we went through a lot. There was an accident on the road. And the whole place was something else. And I said that if this command is not our pursuit, what we are doing is useless. I say this with tears in my eye. As you are sitting there, are you not hearing sounds of vigils? Vigils on what? And for what? That I may receive next promotion. That my enemies will not whatever on me. That I may be a great person in the future. I'm asking a question. Which greatness can we pursue again outside Christ? There's no greatness. Don't think you'll be great. You can't be great. No. Read your Bible very well. Did you ever saw Peter or Paul use any statement like they plan to be great? Amen. Your brother. By the grace of God, I've studied my Bible. I'm still studying. But I've studied well. And I'm still praying to study more. I never saw anywhere where any of the disciples said they plan to be great. What you hear, Paul, is that I may know him. The power of his resurrection. The fellowship of his suffering. Being made conformable unto his death. I'm praying that I may attain unto resurrection. This one thing I do. Forgetting the past. I look forward to press forward for the prize of the high calling of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah.
Amen.
He looks simplistic, but see, I trust that through the Lord will open your ears. You know, now we are all, don't sleep. Oh, I will not take it easy with you. Now all of us seem to be following a trend and we are leaving the pivot. Look, I thank the Lord for all the powerful preachers, powerful teachers, and I sincerely thank the Lord, and I mean it. I thank the Lord for them. I thank the Lord for their contribution to the body of Christ. But minus this omission, you know, when what you do is like a lifeless, something that does not really bear weight, something that Satan is not afraid of. There are things going on, but Satan say, let them be doing it. There's nothing there. We know what to do. I'm shocked that today, Islam is not so surprised again. Nothing we do again moves Islam. It's nothing. As far as they are concerned, it is the normal thing you are doing as you call yourself Christians. There is nothing that... Hope you know light used to challenge darkness. Eh? Talk to me now. Do you see light? Just say, well, I'm light, oh, but just that this darkness is too tough. When this light came now, didn't we rejoice? You see that light caused rejoicing. Because darkness checks out. How can we be here in Nigeria? And darkness seems to be oppressing. As if to say our light is impotent. How come they subdued the then world? Even though in the midst of persecution. How did people like Brother Paul, Brother Peter, and the rest of the early apostles, how did they conquer? They were seriously persecuted. Yet, why were they penetrating everywhere? The quality of life they carried, which is brought about by discipleship. Let's go into the introduction. Brother George will read the introduction for us. And then, when we get to who is a disciple, we'll begin contribution. Yes, please.
Introduction.
Yes.
The matter of discipleship is a crucial one.
It's a crucial one.
That if you omit, you will not have enjoyed the fullness of God the way you should.
You see, people think that they can enjoy the fullness of God outside discipleship. You cannot. Listen. Let me ask you. If you have been like me, confess. If you are not like me, God be with you. There are times that maybe when I listen to some teachings and all of that, my spirit will be charged. I can pray and will be so energized only after 2 months. I'll be looking for another message, another retreat. I don't know if you are like me. It has happened to me until I saw that. That's not the way of the Bible. He's supposed to be a lifestyle. You don't need to reach a point where, oh yes, hallelujah, it seems as if you can do 9 hours, but only that will run for another few months. That's not, it means what you caught in the first place is not real. Oh, amen. This may look strange. When what you caught can sustain you for 20 years. You see, you know, let me ask you a question. When you started walking and God helped you as a young and you started walking, have you stopped walking since then?
No.
Did you need to be encouraged now to walk?
No.
Let's just pray and hold the hands of Susan and say, Lord, just help her to walk again. No. God forbid, in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. What happens to Sister Susan if she wants to walk now? Does she think and say, okay, so how do I do now? Do I take the left leg? Why? It is a lifestyle. Whenever it comes to her head now, pop to walk, what does she do? That's how walking with God should be. Oh, you are not with me now. It's not, oh, yes, Lord. Oh, retreat, ah, Lord. Do something, do something. And I remember of blessed memory and Bunky. He said, when you cry for fresh fire, what happened to the last one? That's what Bunky said. What happened to the last one? In fact, Ryan Bunke said, and I quote, there is no fresh fire anywhere. It is that the one you claim you got was not fresh fire. If it is fire and you are trained on how to keep it, it should be a lifestyle. Amen. Amen. Ah, we know Brother Gwenga, last 3 years he was burning, but now he's not burning again. He wasn't trained. The matter of discipleship, the crucial one, if you omit it, you will never have enjoyed the fullness of God the way you should. Continue, sir.
The matter of discipleship is Jesus' uncompromising demand.
Yes, sir.
Jesus is not requesting that you become a mere Christian, but that you will become a follower willing to yield your life to God to serve his purpose and able to death if need.
This is the hallmark. Bear his cross and follow. Embrace suffering. Don't run from it. Ability for you to say, I'm following him. Jesus, what do you want? We're going a little bit. Don't forget, our topic is discipleship, the pathway to discovery of purpose. Now, who is a disciple? Now, this is contribution. Luke 14:26, Sister Susan will contribute. As she read Luke 14:26, 27:33, she will contribute. Sister Susan will read, Sister Zipporah will read Luke 14:26, 27:33. Sister Susan will read Matthew 4:19, and then Brother George will read Matthew 11:29. And each of you will contribute. Who is a disciple? Yes, please.
14:26.
Yes. A friend does not shout. Mm-mm. He seemed to have caught the secret of his other friend. Amen?
Amen.
Oh, this is strange to what you know. Let me tell you something. I want to beg you. As I bless the Lord, and I still continually bless the Lord, because nobody is an island of knowledge, I'm only still looking at my Bible. My Bible is my template. Go and look and look and look and study again. Even when you come to James 5 and they said the effect of fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Take notes. That, you know, before I said, yes, effect of fervent prayer. And in my head, I thought fervent is noise. I don't know fervency is of the art. And Amplify put it a little bit better for us. He said the word fervent is heartfelt. That's what fervency is. Something that comes from where? From the heart. Something that the heart releases in earnestness to God. I will say you should not shout, we didn't say that. No. But it seemed to be that all of us just believe that God is far away. If you don't shout on him, there'll be no results. You know why? You know why my prayers may not have results? I've not been trained on how to pray have results. Sister Susan, me, I want results without sweat. I want. There is a result that does not come by self-effort. That's the kind of sweat I'm talking about. There's a result that when I come into a situation, even the situation knows I have come. Why? Based on the fact that the person I'm dealing with is my friend. Not only my friend, it's my father. Amen? That's, Mantabaya. That when I'm praying and there's an earnestness that have gripped my heart, it is that the blood, you know, the only prayer I saw that seems to be, there is a sweat. There is a bathing forth. You know the kind of prayer that I say? It's only prayers for souls in the Bible. Are you with me?
Yes,
when it comes to rescuing, and it's not something you formed, it is that there is an earnestness of that, if they don't see this truth, they are lost forever. So it, and where did we first saw that? We saw that with our Lord Jesus Christ. Where the sweat of his body was like what? Blood. Excuse me. And that was the only record. And it was on the matter of what? Salvation. So we also must enter Gethsemane to sweat like him.
Yes.
For the salvation of souls. It is the only earnestness where your soul is batting. My little children, of whom I travail in birth until Christ is formed, is the only travailing as it were. It's not for yourself. Are you with me, please? Look, our sister said, sold out. They say there's no, is there any big grammar in that? They say they gave you receipts that they sold this thing to you. Any big grammar? If somebody said, waiting with this, what do you just simply show you? They sold out. This is the receipt. It's been sold. Brother, it's been sold. This thing belongs to another person. And even in the business world, they say non-refundable. How can you be sold out to Christ and you're trying to check again the past life? No. If you understand this, look at the way Luke 14, 26, 27, 33 put it. You cannot love your life and you cannot follow. Imagine, excuse me, in that your Bible, did you see you cannot be my disciple? If you cannot hate your life, if you don't leave father, mother, you cannot be. Did you see it in your Bible? Now, I'm asking, if you cannot be his disciple, can you be a Christian? Answer now.
No.
You cannot be a disciple, but you want to be a Christian. No, you can't be. You are not a Christian. Someone said to me, hey, look at those Christians. I said, sorry, they are not Christians. Because a disciple is sold out. Excuse me. Are you with me now? Now, I want you to reconcile this. Anytime you are reading the epistles, Ekpele, bro, George, Ekpele. Anytime you are reading the epistles, you stand up now, bro, George. Anytime you are reading the epistles, it must always come from the light of what Jesus said for you to understand it better. When you pick the epistle in isolation from what Jesus already pronounced before Paul ever got saved, you will have a problem. If someone just speak, the word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth, the word of faith which you preach, that if thou shalt confess with your mouth and believe in your heart, thou shalt be saved. If you pick that scripture in isolation, you will run against the proper doctrine of salvation. Every scripture cannot be explained in isolation. You must bring it from the light of discipleship that Jesus first pronounced and take it on like that. Every epistle must reconcile with what Jesus already pronounced. If not, you will run against scriptures. And even if you read the statement of our brother Paul properly, you will understand. It's not just talking about verse 10 as the only thing he talks about. He said, once you just, because I've seen people say, once you just say it, the word is not it, just believe in your heart and just, and because I found out that the root word believe has been misunderstood. The root word of believe means to cling to adhere to stay closely with, as to understand that this Jesus is the Messiah. So you ask, it's not that just say, I believe with all my heart, and he goes to drink in a bar. I believe with all my heart, and he's watching African Magic. He doesn't believe. That's not belief. What you believe, you become. But this kind of believing that is not leading to becoming, it's not believing. So, Sister Susan, Matthew 4:19. This next note, a disciple is sold out. Sister Susan, can you read Matthew 4:19 and you share with us who is a disciple?
Matthew 4:19.
Yes, please.
Jesus said to them, come with me and I will teach you to catch people.
Who is a disciple?
From what I can see here, it's someone who has totally out.
Pull inside. I look at that powerful inside. Christ has caught him. He needs to catch others. That's a powerful one. Christ, you see, this is it. I have caught you. You too. And I'm going to make you into following me such that as you follow me, you will also be made that you know how to catch me. There's an authority upon your life to catch me. Excuse me. Now let me ask you. According to that scripture, if you are not catching me, you are not following Jesus. Oh, you didn't get that. Follow me and I will make you fishers of men. If you are not fishing men, you are not a disciple. Because the resultant effect of following Jesus is that you will go and make others follow him. Amen. Oh, amen. Now, sorry, your brother is sorry. How can you claim to be in a school or in an office or in a hospital and you are not catching men? Eh? What happened to your net that is not catching men? He said, those people, they are stubborn. Hey, didn't you hear Jesus say the harvest is truly ripe? In the end time, I'm saying people are just hard these days. People don't want to go. God say, hey, people are hard. No, they are not hard. It's you that is hard. It's you that have not followed me enough so that they can see. Let your light so shine before me that they may see. Not that they may know, they may see. There's a seeing that the world have not seen. But we know they are not spiritual, so they cannot spiritually know. You know, you can say, he doesn't know who I am. Hallelujah! I know who I am. You are the one that know who you are. They don't know. You see that now? They don't know. And they need to know for them to follow. Amen? Amen. Look, I'm not believing anything. I'm only expressing a body in the heart of the Lord. Praise God! I'm made to see that. Oh, hallelujah! I know who I am. It's only you that know who you are. For them to follow, they need to know who you are. And until they see who you are, they won't follow that Christ you claim you are following. Who makes you who you are? So you see that when we emphasize on a path and miss discipleship, follow me, and I will make you follow me. I will make you fishers of men. I love that insight from our sister. It's the same way I have caught you. You to go and catch men. You are not doing the same. I doubt if you are a disciple. Imagine that there was a time that I saw people, they were praying in tongues, and they everybody, what up, patakatesha, patakataya, Christ, what up, okay. How many of you have preached the gospel in the last maybe 1 month, 2 or 3 months? I was shocked. Talk less of winning souls. Mm-mm. You know, don't let us go into that one. I'm shocked of the Holy Ghost that can win souls that people have. You know, it's shocking me. I don't know. It's not. I'm 2 days. I'm like, Lord, what's going on? The Holy Ghost, a Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit that can win souls. Which kind of Holy Spirit is that one? Ye shall receive power. After the Holy Spirit is what? Come and ye shall be my witnesses, not my weaknesses. Witness. Abba. Your own Holy Spirit is not witnessing, brother. He said, well, I don't know how to witness. You've not been trained. And guess what? Guess why their Holy Spirit is not witnessing? Because the person that told them said, you will just receive baptism of the Spirit. Just speak anything that comes. You speak in tongues now. Can we just, all of them that don't receive baptism of the Spirit, can you please come out? Is that how they receive baptism of the Holy Spirit in the early church? No. Can you please come out? Just say, Holy Spirit, I receive Holy Spirit. Now begin to speak now. So what did they receive? They received something, not the person. Because the emphasis now is towards the language, not the person. It's towards the language. Oh, you will say something. And then everybody is saying something. Without knowing the person. I say it's a problem. My wife went to preach somewhere yesterday in the school. And they said the brother was just blah, 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 blah. And just said, now we're going to go into practical experience of baptism of the Spirit. And then once you just come, everybody starts speaking in tongues. So my wife said, no, it's not like that. Start from the origin of baptism of the Spirit. Before they went to the upper room, he taught them about the person of the Spirit. John 14, John 15. He taught them. After their experience, the first message of Peter was a teaching. Even Brother Paul meeting the 12, that seems sporadic, eh? It was based on a teaching. Go and find that. Unto what were ye baptized? It was a question. Cornelius' house experience, which seems to be the only, you know, Holy Ghost just came. God wanted to prove something to Peter and find out, when did the Holy Spirit come? As the teaching. And go and study the teaching. That's what people say. Well, while Peter yet speak, not while Peter prayed for them. It was the teaching as they were receiving understanding. The Holy Ghost came. Paul's experience of praying for about 12 brothers. Teaching. There's a teaching because the person they are to receive is a teacher. So if they are not taught, they will misunderstand him. That's discipleship. Everybody is speaking in tongues without understanding. And I'm shocked. When the Holy Spirit... have you studied the history of baptism of the Spirit? The 1904 revival? The Welsh revival? When the Holy Spirit will come on men, the land will know. The land will... Because once they receive, everybody... So it's as if something you can't rest again. You just must go and explain that this Jesus is the living Christ. Have you tasted of the forgiveness that Jesus brought for us on the cross? This is the joy we are experiencing. Why are you there? You just want to go everywhere. You see, it's like there's a petrol. There's a fire. When I go back home of the Spirit, you can't relax. How can I relax? For what? What? Because what is in me doesn't make me relax. Why? Christ must be testified. Through my words and by my life. See. People must be trained. If we look at Matthew 11:29, now Brother George, from Matthew 11:29, who is a disciple? Are not teachable. Many brothers and sisters are not teachable. You know why they are not teachable? Look at, remember what Brother George said. Who is willing to learn? You know, you cannot be willing to learn until you are teaching. You cannot be willing to learn if you don't think there's something you can learn from another person. You don't understand that? When I feel that I know everything, if Sister Zipora wants to say something, something in me says, what is it that she wants to say? We suddenly asked Susan to bring us a contribution. Something tells you, but what is she want to say? That we have not studied. You are not a disciple. As far as every brother and sister are Christians and they are born again, and you are sure of that, when they want to talk, you should listen, because the Spirit of God inside of them, they want to pass you a message. That's my life objective. They might invite me to a big meeting. I don't care. It may be from your mouth. I get what I'm looking for. You are a disciple. You know the trend now. The trend is that maybe if they invite Brother George to a meeting now, and then, you know, everybody has listened to Joshua Selman, Lorenzo, everybody's hearing it. Somebody now feels that, okay, what is it? We are hearing great teachers and preachers of the world. What mystery does he have? No, you are wrong. His own contribution may push you forward. You might have 500 messages of Joshua Selman, Big Billy Akoni. If this brother's contribution, you will need it. That's teachability. I don't want to say, remember, there are arrogant brothers. Very arrogant. And you see what they call arrogance? Is that they know, they think they know. And any arrogant person does not really know. No, he doesn't. He might be able to quote scriptures. He does not know the word of God. You see, quoting scripture is different from knowing the word of God. Explaining scriptures is different from knowing the word of God. Oh, but no, brother Apollo was, Bible says he was mighty in scriptures.
Yes.
But brother Priscilla, sister Priscilla and Aquila, they sat him down. Sit down. This thing you are teaching, you are not talking well. Do you know I never saw in my Bible that Apollo say, what do you mean? I've been preaching all throughout the what are you talking about? That have several, I've been to 67 provinces releasing the words of this grace. No, Bible says Brother Apollo did what? He learned his sound. Now he was not being taught by an apostle, he was taught by members of a church. That's how discipleship is powerful. Members are seated, they can even teach a preacher. And the preacher himself can listen. I can learn from anybody. The day I stop learning from brothers and sisters that I claim to even disciple, that is the day I stop being a disciple. A disciple is teaching.
You know, sometimes when we want to preach in some places, you know, they send you to preach in a place. The way you even start the message shows that you are proving that you know more than everybody that came.
You still must have that heart. Lord, please. Whatever you also want me to glean from my brothers, I'm available. That's a disciple. Are we going to be like this and have competition in the church? Is somebody going to fight that they made this other brother a superintendent? They are still, I'm still a pastor. Is he going to fight? Jesus said, for I am meek and lowly in heart. What do you want to brag about? Jesus is saying, what is it? Me, your master, doesn't brag about anything. Very important. Let's move on. Will you be willing to release your total life as a disciple of Jesus Christ? Answer this question actively. It's your personal answer. Will you be willing to release your total life as a disciple of Jesus Christ? Look at John 20:25 and let's enter into another discussion as we move and as we close. Wow. Hey, this time is not helping me. It's John 12:25. Every translation should please read.
Those who love their own life will lose it.
Will what?
Lose it.
Lose it. Yes, sir.
Those who eat their own life in this world will keep it for life eternal.
Another translation?
In the same way. Anyone who holds on to life.
If you hold on to life.
Just as it is destroyed.
Uh-huh.
That life.
If you hold on to life, you destroy that life. Yes.
But if you let it go.
Recklessly,
you have it forever.
You will have that life.
Eternal.
You will have that life forever, real and eternal. Yes? Your translation? The same thing. Whosoever loves this life, will lose it. This was what made me drop my opportunity to walk. When I saw that I love life. Ah, what will I eat? How will I feed? You know, some people are slaves of money. But they are speaking in tongues. The thing is, because I can't carry Holy Spirit now. Holy Spirit, I found that Holy Spirit used to address every idol issue in your heart. If there is an idol in your heart, something you are clinging to, Holy Spirit will address it. Yes, hope you know when Abraham was trying to cling to Isaac, the Lord addressed it. Go and find. That's, I have found that the Lord does not want no rival. If your Holy Spirit is not addressing it, you are not a disciple. It's a sign that you love this world system. How can people, whosoever love this life, you know, if I now go and obey the Lord now, what will I be eating? My mates are doing PhD. I'm here after service, struggling to collect 45,000. In fact, 45,000 is to finish before the money arrives. You see, what shall we eat? You see what I'm trying to do now? Even the last time I collected salary, I know how much I sent to my to the house. Trying to do that, they can augment for things. Eh? These things are not enough. My house strength now, I don't even know how I'm going to do next one. It's money. In fact, I'm looking for a better job because this one I'm just managing for now. And when the Lord will now come and say, I about this, you say, Lord, I will serve you. But you see, just help me. Just help me. One month. Help me, Lord. 2 months. 6 months. Lord, help me. You know I love you. You know. But you see, just help me. 2 years. Help me, oh God. Do you know why you will not in 1 minute say, when the Lord said, my son, I need you here, you know why you will throw away that job immediately? It's that you're a disciple. Someone say, oh, I should, let me just give 1-2 practical examples. The way we live our lives should not be with any special holding on to it. Because if you hold on to it, you will lose it. It's not like you don't need to pray. You will lose that life. It will turn to emptiness and nothingness. Such that if you reflect, you will say, so what did I use my life for? Because you will have lost it. Until you release it, that translation says, recklessly as per to Jesus. Whatever you desire, tell me. I'll run now. That's when the Bible says you will gain that life. You know, I hear the Lord say, no, Benga, there's no problem. You want to cling to it, then you will lose it. It's the mathematics and commerce of heaven. You will lose it. Don't just cling to it. Cling. You go ahead, cling to it. You will lose it. And I said, look, I'm not stupid. They say if I keep something, I will lose it. But if I lose it, I will get it. Nem kukuma, lose it. Yeah. No, I love the losing. No, but the losing it too is not easy. Say no, it's easy. You are a disciple, but my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. You know why many people does not obey God? Pastor Kumi said many of you are supposed to be obeying God. You are still in the prayer room. You know what that means? God said, go. 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 My daughter, go. Go. I say go. Lord. Oh, I say yes, Lord. Somebody is saying yes. I say yes inside the prayer room. Where you lead me, I will go, Lord. I say yes, Lord. I say yes. And the Lord said, go now. He said, I say yes. No, go now. Why are many still singing when they should be obeying? It's for fear of what they will eat, what they will become. He that cannot lose his life has to say, Jesus, this is it. What do you want with this life? Because a disciple has no life again of his own. Now, this is not a big message. What is looking like a big message? It's not a big message. Because if your entry point was proper, you know you don't have a life. You don't have a job. Your job is not your job.
Yes, sir.
You don't have a job. You are only following. It's in your following that your job came from. It's not a job as per a job. You only have one job, to go and make disciples. That's the only job. How many of you know that? Look at that scripture in Matthew 28. You find out that, look at, the Bible said, as you do this, how does a message put Matthew chapter 28 from verse 18, verse 20? I want you to see something. And then another translation should read that verse 20. I want you to see something. I like the way 28 verse 19 and 20, verse 19 and 20.
God,
go out
and train everyone you meet.
Train everyone you meet. So in this issue, if the Lord will take you far, what must you be doing?
Going out.
You must be going far. If it's also that he says you should stay near, what must you also do? Train. Because you are following. Oh yeah, George, go far. You don't say, God, that far is too far. You go far. You go, you are, who is a disciple? A follower. He just said, well, that's where I'm going. That's where you go. There's no big deal. If you go and die there, amen, you die there. You're going to heaven. Because you have died to yourself. You can't die twice. Look at the scripture. Go on, man.
In this way of life. Marking them by baptism with the threefold name.
Uh-huh.
Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Uh-huh.
Then instruct them.
Uh-huh.
In the practice of all I have commanded
you. All I have commanded you. Go on.
I will be with you as you do this.
When will I be with you?
As you do it.
Eh?
As you do this,
I will be with you. What if you do that and not this? Eh? Simple instruction from Jesus. The presence of God is non-negotiable when you are making disciples. When you are pursuing, following him. It is as you do this, not as you do that. It's this one. So listen, you know it's not a prayer. If I'm going now to go on the passion to raise men for God, I don't need to pray if he will be with me. He already said. He cannot lie and he cannot deny himself. If the devil like, let him block the road. He is there with me. If in the process I need to die, he must be at my side when they are killing me. Because another translation says, be sure of this, I will be with you. It is this that assures my presence, not anything else. Go and be doing something else. I'm not there. I'm not with you when it is not this you are doing. This is the words of our Lord. Can I have your translation read that verse 20? I checked other translations, and it's amazing when I check other translations. Yes?
Faith. And teach them to obey everything I have commanded you.
Uh-huh.
And I will be with you always to the end of the age.
It is when they brought the assurance of I will be, it is based on the instruction he gave. I don't know that translation that says, be sure of this. I will be with you. So a brother went and is doing something else that is his own program and journey. It's not the Lord's journey. It's not the Lord's purpose. It's not to raise disciples. It's not to train men. The Lord is not there. I say it with pity and a lot of, you know, humility in my heart. Many ministries, Jesus is not there. He's not there. Sometimes I'm praying, no, I say it with humility, not because I'm the only person who can hear the Lord. Sometimes I will hear the Lord say, don't follow that, I'm not there. I say, Lord, but they're on the TV. He said, but I'm not there. I'm not there. He said, you know why I'm not there? Go and check what they are doing and check their fruits. They seem to have the glamour, but before heaven is empty, I'm not there. I'm not there. Imagine you are not raising men to follow me. I'm not there. You didn't train anybody to follow Jesus. How can I be there? I'm not there. I say, Lord, you are not in that big ministry. So I'm not there. But they have the crowd. Say, but I'm not there. Don't you see crowd following me also? Did I focus on the crowd? Didn't I focus on the few who wants to follow me? I'm not there. It's big, oh. Sometimes you say, ah, Jesus. He said, even your brother Paul, go and look at his letters and see what he focused on. Go and see the instruction he gave to his own son in the gospel, Timothy. Go and read it again. I'm looking at my Bible. I say, God, you mean this? He said, that's it. Go and look at it. I'm not there. Whatever will not make men to follow Christ, Jesus is not there. Your job that is not translating into raising disciples, the Lord is not there with you. That's why anything can happen to you on that job. Do you know that who's supposed to be defending your job when any issue happens? Who should defend it? It should be the Lord. But since it's your job, any day they feel like sacking you, any day anything will happen, it will happen. Have you seen people? How many of you know about this bank issue that happened one time? Trade bank closed down, this bank closed down. That people who were big, big men just yesterday became terrible men the next day. Economic meltdown, this. How many of you know the kind of things happen? You know, Nigeria is a stable country in the name of Jesus, but nothing is stable. Because now, today you can be well employed, tomorrow you might lose your job. Anything happens. See what happened in Ekiti State. You see, so when your job is your job, you will have a lot of heartache. That's why I see people go to work and they lose their spiritual life. I know of brothers, before they got the job, oh Lord, oh God, they were praying, they were spending time only for the job to start. What happens to them? What will first cut? Quiet time. Quiet time will first cut. And when they go in the morning, guess when they are coming back? And when they come back, how do they come? How do they come back? Sometimes they come back, they come back almost useless. Like their body is just fagged out. As they get home, what are they trying to cook? Junks. As they eat the junk, what are they trying to do? They just land on the bed. Blah. The next morning. And for 6 straight months, the fire is not there. Why? He has not developed the art of following Jesus. And do you know, I found out that the job Jesus sent you to go and do, the one he said you go, do you know he gives the grace and he sustains your spirit? Even if you walk from 9 to 9, you will find a strength and a wisdom. Because you will see the Lord say, I sent you here. You will be fresh because it is not your job, it is his job. What led you to that office was he following. You followed him there. You didn't just choose it. Money didn't make you choose it. And I found out in Matthew, he said, if you follow me, you will find rest for your souls. Rest, you will find rest. You know, some people have not, they are not resting. Ah, if you see some families, there's no rest there. As mother is trying to go to market, daddy is trying to do this. When you talk anything about, once you mention money in that family, you say everybody's ear is up. Yeah, how much is that one? I don't have that. The budget is there. The budget, everybody. So when it comes to money, everybody is always no rest. When there is no money in some family, you will know it, notice it in the face of the father and the mother. If there's money, everybody's happy. If there's no money, everybody is in Yoruba land. Amakwe won kora. Irritation. Everybody's irritated. Yeah, like what? Please. Don't disturb me. You see, wife will call on you. What? When there's no money. So I put it to you. Will you truly obey John 12:25? He that loves his life will what? You will. It's not a prayer point. You will lose it. But if you will say, Jesus, this life is yours. If it is to death, I will follow you. You will gain it. Discussions. Brother Fortunate, the first word there, discuss with us. Second, Brother George, Sister Susan, and then Sister Zipporah. Brother George will just explain what we have just said, or maybe additional information on John 12:25, Sister Susan, 2 Corinthians 5:12-14, Sister Zipporah, Philippians 1:21. This question is, what is the implication of the rests found in Matthew 11:28-29 to your life? What's the implication of the rests to your life and discovery of your purpose? Please, not how you are going to answer that question. What is the implication of that rest to your life and the discovery of your purpose? We're fortunate. You know, are we together? Are you reading the Bible? If I'm alive, I like that hand. In Yoruba land, you will say, Agunla Aguntete. That's what we say in Yoruba land. You know, Sasusan, look, is that tongues? No, it's not tongues. When they say, if I'm alive, My mother would say, whether I'm dead, that means whether I'm alive or I'm dead, if I die, it's nothing. Okay. In fact, he says it's gay.
Yes.
You see, so you see, a disciple has a different perspective on death.
Yes.
He said, hey, they're coming. Oh, hey, they don't come. Oh, no. If they come, better. Can you threaten Paul with sudden death? A vision of sudden death? You know, as I was praying, and Pashkabalabala. Brother, be careful. I see accident on your way. Amen. If that's the way Jesus wants to take me, and he will not even take me through that. If he must take me, then he informs me, because it's his life. Amen. Can somebody threaten you and say, I just see death all over you. Amen. I'm going home. If that's true. And by the way, he doesn't have to come and tell you to tell me. He can tell me by himself because it's his life. You see, when did we start paying full and amen when they kidnap us? We are afraid of our life. My brother is here, and I'm standing before God. It was there when I said in the family, and I told, as I go about traveling, preaching, and we are yet to go several places. Of course, I'm going to the north. God already concluded that that's where I'm going to be based, spend my life. If I told my wife, if they kidnap, never should you pay a dime. For what? Eh? My soul is now worth 50 million. Babs, what shall the man give in exchange for his soul? They say, brother, you've not witnessed it. Excuse me. We are not the first to witness that. It's not because I value or I appreciate or I don't know the pain my Christian friends are going through in the north. No. But I'm saying if we have been properly taught. Excuse me. If I can speak Hausa, that's only pain. And somebody that carry me can speak Hausa. What opportunity is that?
Preach the gospel.
Huh? And to demonstrate victory over fear of death. It's paining me. Sometimes I'm angry that the way the church raised me, I was raised as a coward. When I was in the north, and Boko Haram was to strike, and somehow God helped, and they didn't strike Kazauri. God helped us that day. And police interfered, blah, blah, blah. The whole thing went. Do you know from that day, if I'm walking, it's as if everybody like this, you will be part of them. If I want to sleep in the night, something to crew, I would have. I became so fearful. And I told myself, the real thing that ought to happen, God has helped, it didn't happen. Why am I in fear? And I remember the Lord said, it's not your fault. It's the fault of those who raise you. You know how I was raised? I was raised to be prosperous. I was raised, you know, one day you just come home. Have you pictured yourself like that? I just come home with my Jeep. And my mother will say, hey, praise the Lord, come and help me sing hallelujah. I used to picture it. And I just come out of that jeep, you know, with black shoe, well polished. I just say, we bless the Lord. Can you please open the boot? Yeah, we thank God. Hey, yes, sir, we thank God. Equally. And they'll be bringing out things from the boots. I'm a man that thinks a lot. And my mother would just enter the kitchen and go and do pounded yam. And after I finish, I just give this 150,000, just manage that. The Lord will help us. Next week, I should send you something. That's the way I was raised by the church. I was raised to love enjoyment. I was raised to love life. I thank the Lord. They are the ones that introduced me to Christ. And I bless God for them. But this omission in my life has caused me problem. It caused me a lot of problem. What I'm sharing with you. Because if I've been raised as a man willing to die, what do you think will happen if Fulani herdsmen carry 500 Christians and nobody paid a dime? Let me ask you a question. Let's discuss. They catch this one, they kill him. And we, when we hear he's killed, what is our understanding of death? Eh? Excuse me. If you are really a disciple, have we lost every Christian brother? Look. And God is hearing me. I'm not trying to brag on anything. I pray to do more because there is a vision to get the gospel out. But excuse me, if in the process, I told her maybe last week, I said, move on. If you have to remarry and push the agenda of the kingdom. Don't sit down and be crying because I will have gone to a better place. Billy Graham said, if you hear that Billy Graham died, don't believe a word of it. Because I'll be more alive than I am now. It's one of the statements of Billy Graham. He said, if you hear Billy Graham is dead, don't you ever believe a word of it. Because I will be more alive than I am now. What was he simply saying? There is a reality above here. Where your existence is really well defined. This one said you are in a borrowed clothes. living a borrowed time. The real life is after you're off this mortal body. Do you know the depth of that revelation was what helped the early church to face persecution with joy? Have you read Fox's book of Matthias? Have you? It's a book you must read as a disciple. That book from page 1 to the end is about death. Big book, oh. Not small book, not the one you read in 1 week. Oh. Big book. Names of people and how they were killed. Not apostles, real Christians and names. Powerful book. And you know, I read that book and I didn't finish it. It amazed me the way Christians of the early church face death. Imagine they tie somebody and they set him on fire and he's singing. He's singing inside fire. Real, real experience. When we all get to heaven, and he's born inside fire. It takes revelation for certain experiences to lose effect. Revelation. You see, experience. Because when Jesus died and he simply said, death, where is thy power? It's a real statement. It's not one cajoling statement. It's a real statement. Where is your power? Death, where is your power? The power you have to hold people and put fear in them. That will make everybody to quake. You lost that power when Jesus died and rose from the dead. Do you know that by the time we begin to walk in that reality, how do you think we will face death? If they were there, brother, so and so have died. Oh, thank God, he has gone to a better place. Imagine you. Oh, we bless God, he has gone to a better place. Imagine that language in every mouth of every Christian. Oh, they killed some 14 people. Are they saved? They said they are saved. Oh, we thank God, they've gone to a better place. How do you think our enemies will behave? In? Instead of burying, that they themselves will be watching the way we bury our people. And they see us say, we are sure they are Christians. They have gone to a better place. Hallelujah. And it's a burial for ceremonial. For the Lord. Because we truly believe that to die is gain. Hey, you know, when you take the teaching of long life and you overstretch it, you will have people who will weep when they find some people killed for the sake of the gospel who didn't live long. Brother Stephen lived long.
No.
Brother James lived long.
No.
We only find few of the apostles. Paul grew old, but he died many times. He said, I die daily. Brother Peter grew old, but how did he die? But some of the young brothers in the early church, did they grow long? Did they live long? Please go and read your Bible again. Before they took Peter, you know they said they killed James.
Yes.
Did the church cry?
No.
No. Even when they took Brother Peter, why are they asking for his deliverance? Is that we still need this brother because work is still on ground. It's not anything big. How did Brother Paul was writing to them about persecution? Can't it all joy? Can't it what? When I see that scripture, I see the spirit. My discipleship, I need help. Can't it all? Imagine that they threw somebody in prison. What did they say they do that night? Paul and Silas. Prison, sir. Prison. If you hear they put me in prison, what would you like to do? Even me, will I like to sing in that prison? May God help us. We love something. Oh. Those of you who think that, oh, hallelujah, the church is moving on. Yes, the church will march on because the gate of hell will not prevail. But excuse me, the church that we march on is to be pushed by disciples. Don't forget. The government shall be upon his shoulder, and the shoulder is his body, and the body is the church. So the church that we march on will be marched on by disciples. It's important. God needs us. Now I ask you, Philippians 1:21, for to me to live is Christ and to die is what? Is gain. Whether alive I'm dead. I'm his bounty. So, and I say it all to all of you and to everyone that will listen to this message. If I die, don't cry. If you think I'm still needed, pray and ask God to bring me back. And I'm sure, sir, if you bring me back, if Jesus didn't ask me to come back, I'll be angry with you. You know why? There was one true life story of a man who died. He left children and wife and died. The wife cried and said, Lord, please, please. And as everybody was praying, people prayed and he came back to life. And when he rose like this from the hospital bed, he didn't rise with laughter. His face was stern. He said, why? What happened? Look, we are glad. He said, you called me back. You called me back. There's a glory beyond. You called me back. Imagine somebody that had a wife. I love you, baby. I love you. He can't remember I love you, baby. Why? There's a reality above I love you, baby. I used to tell my wife, I said, look, I love you, but you know they don't marry in heaven. I told her, if I get to heaven, I will forget you. My wife said, me, I will not forget you. I said, I will forget you. He said, well, that may be you, but me, I will not forget. I said, did you ever hear Jesus say, in the resurrection, he said, they neither marry nor are given in marriage. I won't know you as my wife. Even relationship is for the earth. This marriage is for the earth. When we get this, another type of relationship. Hey! Imagine Boko Haram catch this one. They slaughter. They say 20 million. And we are responding and say, kill him if you want to. He is going to a better place. What do you think will happen to Boko Haram members? I'm asking you a question. Somebody say they've not catch me before. Listen, I'm standing for the. I don't pray they catch me now. The reason is because I have seen things. But if they do, whether dead or alive, every other person should keep preaching the gospel while I've gone to rest. If I truly believe what Jesus said, should I do giri-giri on that? If fear wants to grip my, what should I tell fear? Leave! Whether my life or I'm dead. Do you know why all of us are like this? The way we were raised to love life. You see, sometimes I picture my wedding. I hope you're not picturing your own too. You picture your wedding, you picture your children, you picture your house, you picture your duplex. When you have pictured all that, a life of fulfillment, and what you are calling life of fulfillment, it's not to advance the cause of Jesus. So it's just for you to walk around and say, see, God has helped me. You know, serving God means having things in our generation. Working with God means having things, whereas it's not that. This kind of life is the one that is whether wealthy. Are they saying we should end the meeting? Whether wealthy, it means nothing. Whether in lack, it means nothing. Do you know why we pursue wealth now? Why we want wealth? It's to raise more disciples. Amen? Do you know why we want wealth? It's to what? Raise more disciples. Hallelujah. This is very, very crucial and very important. May the Lord grant you understanding. I said, may the Lord grant you understanding. In the name of Jesus Christ. Now, what is the implication on the discovery of purpose? Do you know that to discover the essence of your living now is not a big issue again? No. You know what I found out? I will want to jump a little, but I will not jump because I have few more minutes. Discovery of purpose for living does not become a problem again. Because number one, who are you living for? Christ. So do you have, you know what you call, I don't even know what God wants to do. As the Lord is bringing those things, what is making you struggle? It's because you want to live for yourself. That's why you're saying it's confusing. It's not clear. You know, when the Bible says, it's not really clear what the Lord is saying. It's clear. The challenge is that somebody is trying to live for himself. Let's move on as to touch it. Who is a discipler? A mature believer who himself or herself is following Christ and living the exemplary life. Who has discovered his own purpose for living and has channeled it to the advancement of the kingdom of God. And who has the ability to nurture
and raise others to follow Jesus the way he follows Christ. A discipler must evidently show the life and character of Christ. And because of his or her life, he or she can be trusted to lead people into the realities of following Jesus. Note, every disciple must grow to become what? A disciple. And that's what we've been reading. Since you have been caught, you too must what? Catch others. Now, the missing factor of discipleship is painful, but I will not overflow that. Let's move on. Discipleship. Sister Zipporah, read for us.
This is a process of following Christ through submission to a mature believer. Jesus commanded us from Matthew 28:18-20 to go and make disciples of all nations. So it is not an option. It is not a suggestion. It is a command for you to be a disciple of Jesus Christ by following a man or woman who follows Christ and then in turn begin to grow to lead others into a loving relationship with Jesus Christ to the point of being willing to follow the Lord to death.
Amen.
Amen.
If you look at, Jesus told his own disciples to go and make disciples. So those other disciples, who are they to follow? They are to follow these apostles who are following Jesus. Is that not so?
Yes.
That is the chain. It's a chain. So you can't claim to be a disciple following Jesus without following a man who follows Jesus. It's the chain. You remember Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ. It's important. A mature believer. You see, this is the teachability. Hope you know that the Bible confirms that some people say, well, Jesus said, when I was hungry, you did not feed me. When I was naked, you did not cook. They say, when did we see you? He's saying, as much as you do this to these brethren, you are doing it to me. So if you claim to follow Jesus, but you cannot submit under a man, you are not following Jesus. You can't claim to love God when you cannot love the brethren. You see how God usually put that in parallel. You can't claim to follow me if you cannot submit under a man that you can see. You cannot submit under me. Amen?
Amen?
Amen.
Amen.
This is quite important. We've talked about qualities of a true disciple. We've talked about it. Just go through it much more. And then you have principles of discipleship. Let me run through that. Discipleship is all about learning the life of Christ, not just about following a man or a woman. As you follow a mature believer, what you are pursuing is Christ. And you are looking at your Bible as you learn life from that other person. Because what you are not trained in, you don't know how to do. And you must watch a life. He said, teaching them to observe. You must observe. Observation is key to your Christian growth. Observation is key to your Christian growth. Observation is key to your Christian growth. Not just listening. Observation. Not just listening. Observation. And you cannot observe until you are in discipleship. Until you follow a man or woman who follows Christ. B. Discipleship is higher than mentorship. What's mentorship? Mentorship is somebody far away. That you love his teachings. You love his books. But he does not personally know you. For example, I love certain servants of God. One that stands out is Brother Billy Akoni. But excuse me, Bro Billy does not know my house. He does not know where I live. He doesn't even know my name. If he wants to even know, he cannot know. And he said the Lord choose to tell him. And I doubt if the Lord will tell him. Why? He's a mentor. Far away. But it cannot help me grow properly. Go and make disciples. He didn't say go and be mentors to them. Because discipleship is higher than mentorship. It is submitting your life in openness to a man or woman who genuinely follows Christ. You see, one of the principles of discipleship is ability to submit. You may know a lot, but submit. Highly knowledgeable, but submit. That submission is needed. And you know, by divine design, who are supposed to be our disciples? Our parents. By design. Parents should be our parents and disciples.
But why are we having this extra, this person is my disciple? Is when your own parents are failed. When they themselves are not properly discipled. That's why we have a problem. Your disciple does not know everything. Take note. Doesn't mean your disciple knows everything. He or she is only following Christ. He or she gives you room big enough to learn from others. Amen?
Amen.
You learn from others. But you submit under a life. You learn from others. But you submit under a life. You must create time to spend. You must create time to spend time. that's serious. You create the time in order to spend the time regularly with your disciple as you grow. Excuse me. Discipleship is about spending quality time with him or her. You learn his or her life, not just based on his or her teachings. For example, now I have listened to Brother Gilead Kony, I've listened to Joshua Selman, I've listened to several people, but I don't know their house. You know their house. You've been there. You visit them regularly to go and eat chicken and chips. Yeah. And sometimes we may judge a man by his message. Have you seen where Joshua Selman is angry before? Yeah? Oh, you think he can't be angry? I can't be angry. He's an apostle. It's not true. Have you seen where Brogbili is angry before? Ah, that man, he cannot be angry. Ah, it's not true. You need to learn life. First, it is the life and character. Hope you know, just say, learn of me, for I am, life, I am. You learn who I am before you learn what I will send you to do. What you learn first is who I am before you learn what I do. But most people, what are they learning? They are learning what to do in ministry. How to flow in the prophetic gift. How to flow in the anointing. That's what people are going to learn. Not the life. Is the life first and then the other. We don't leave the other too. We learn the life. But the moment you omit the life, you will have prophets who fornicate. You have prophet. I'm shocked this kind of prophet at the same bank account of people, but can't see our future in Nigeria, where we are going as a nation. It's a big challenge. You must create time, because if you cannot create time to spend time with him or her, you can't really learn. You can't be trained. Many of the things you struggle with will practically go away when you spend time with your disciple. I tell you the truth. I spent 1 year with my disciple, as in living with him. One solid year. And many of the things that were struggling. See, most of the time, when you observe, you can't forget. You can't say you didn't know. What they tell you, you can forget. Not what you observe. Amen? Amen?
Amen.
If I say something to you now, after 6 months, if I ask you, you may say, what was that? Is that not so? Is it every message you've ever listened to that you can remember? Word for word, But what you observe, you can never forget. And teaching them to observe, you show them, make them see.
Mm-hmm.
No wonder Jesus made his own disciples to see. Yes or no?
Mm-hmm.
They saw him pray. They saw him respond to things. It was while staying with him, I know how to choose a future partner. I know how the nitty gritty of what I'm looking for. Because all these things, I'm praying, the Lord just spoke to me. Most of these I claim the Lord spoke to me. Hope you know that's how Joshua said, they were coming from the mountain. You remember Joshua and Moses? Joshua said, yes, sir, great things are happening down there. Hallelujah! Great things are happening down there. Moses said, no, that's not the sound of war, it's the sound of merriment. You know, Joshua was interpreting this thing by his understanding. You know, he's a chief of army staff. And he says, sir, we are ready for battle. You know, anytime Joshua see war, he's happy. Great is happening. Let's go and fight. Joshua said, no, it's not like that. You need a disciple to help you interpret what you claim God is telling you. by virtue of the fact that they have gone ahead, they can interpret properly for you. That's why you must be careful to follow a man who follows Christ, a woman who follows Christ. Somebody who can guide you and say, why not pray again? Why not ask the Lord? Why not pray again? Why not look at this? Because a person who follows Christ will not envy you, even if you become greater. Hope you know you cannot be greater than your disciple. You can only do greater works than him. Very important. It's a rule of life. You see, that word alone helps me to be humble. You cannot be greater than your disciple. You can only do greater works than him. Because he who is ahead is ahead. Unless he backslides and stop following Christ. Amen?
Amen?
Amen. You must create time to spend time. It's important. Do things for and with your disciple. Do things for him. Do things with him. You are learning service. You are learning humility. It's a practical learning. Don't say, well, I'm a humble man. Demonstrate it. You need to do it. For it to sit more in you as a lifestyle. You do things for him, for her, with him, or her. Be open. You know, there are some people who... How many of you... I don't know if you listen to Joshua Selman or... Lawrence Sawyer and some other people. Do you tell them the secret of your life? As you are hearing the message, you should say, man, let me just share some of these things with you. You know, you'll be crazy to be speaking to a tape. The only person you can be open to is somebody that is intimate with you. Somebody you know. You know, there are some disciples that they hide secret from their so-called disciple. They choose what to tell him. They are not disciples. No wonder they also, they choose what to tell the Lord. How can somebody be hiding from the Lord? You are using tongues to cover your weakness. Explain, Lord, this is the issue. Show me the way out. Hallelujah. Be open to him or her. No secret of your life should be hidden. Don't choose what to tell him or her. When you do that, you cannot be truly helped. Truly honor your disciple, because as you do that, you honor Christ who places him over you. The moment you are not seeing Christ in your disciple, on a continual basis, leave that discipleship immediately and with all humility. Nobody forces you to do that. Amen. A single brother cannot disciple you as a lady. Amen. I said amen. A single brother that is not married cannot disciple you as a lady. Why? And also a single sister cannot disciple you as a brother. Why? Except he or she is married, which will make the man and his wife to disciple you. It's important for you to know that discipleship is intimacy. There is no way you will follow a man or woman, you will not be intimate with him, because your life is open. Your secret is open. He himself is sharing things with you. Things that others don't know, a discipler will share with you. Why? You are to learn life, and then you learn to go into what God is asking you to do. So secrets are uncovered. Secrets are shared. So because of that intimacy, if a single brother is trying to help you spiritually to grow, that is his image, before you notice it, you'll be finding lust and affection. It will be creeping in gradually. And that can cause you problem. We have seen disciples. They started as disciples only to end up with proposal. Yes. And you know, sometimes it pains me that there are sisters that should have reason in strength and grace to help us disciple our sisters, but they too, they are still dwarfs. So more sisters are going to brothers. Disciple me, sir. Single brothers. I put it to you again, our brothers. You are still in the flesh. You are not an angel. Amen?
Mm-hmm.
Emotion is real. Amen?
Mm-hmm.
Very real. Very real. Look, if I will share with you some things, time will go. How great men fell. Powerful men. Men of grace and anointing. But fell. Why? They didn't manage such things like this properly. There's no time. Consider the following scriptural pattern. One, Moses and Jethro. Is it clear? You remember that one? God wanted to release Moses as a deliverer, yet he sent him first in the house to the house of a man. For how many years? 40 learning. You know, Moses' life is divided into 40, 40, 40. The first 40, trying to find bearing in life. The first 40, developing zeal without discipleship. Second 40, learning. Last 40, ministry. Joshua and Moses. Hope you know that Moses and Jethro, do you remember there was a time like that Jethro had to come and visit Moses?
Yes.
Hope you know Jethro still corrected the man of God.
Yes, yes.
You remember?
Yes,
I ask a question. Do you know Moses see God?
Yes.
Eh?
Yes.
How come Moses, Lord, I'm just trying to say something. I don't mean to belittle Moses. He says, I truly honor him. How come Moses did not have common sense? You remember he was the one judging the people from morning to evening. Until Jethro said, this thing you are doing is not good. You be what? So the secret of 120 years of Moses was as a result of his disciples' counsel. Moses will have died since. So how can you be sitting like this from morning till night? Say, yeah, what's that? It's the issue of cake and akara and this thing. Okay, people should stay. I say, I'll come to you. Yes, what's the issue of that? Hey, this man stole my chicken, and after that, okay, you people should stay there. Yes, who is that woman crying over there? And you do that from morning. That's what they will give you what and give. Hey, Zipporah, have you people made that to you? And maybe they should get me those things. Hey, yes, who's that one? You know, Jethro saw all that. Jethro said, what? What is this you are doing? Look. The question is, why didn't God? Is it too much for God to say, Moses,
you will die?
You will die on time. Why did he take a Jethro? Look. This is a principle in the Bible. You know, I see someone say, the Holy Ghost told me, hey, excuse me, you have not even seen God. They say there's a brother who used to enter the cloud. The mist of the cloud. Thick cloud. Yet there was no common sense to judge people. God respects discipleship. Joshua and Moses. You see how that thing went from Moses? Moses also raised Joshua. The challenge of Joshua is that he didn't raise anybody. That's why after Joshua, you had judges. You should have had somebody else. Joshua and Moses. Excuse me, go and read your Bible again. Anytime Moses goes to the mount, who goes there with him? You see, it's not only Moses that used to go there. Joshua will be there. Somewhere in between. As he's coming down, who is the first person he's seeing?
Joshua.
No wonder, who did they hand over the work to? Joshua. Discipleship. Ruth and Naomi, your people shall be my people. Your God shall be my God. Kai, where you die. Kai, that woman is something else. No wonder she fell into the limit that will bring forth the Messiah. You see how God arranged him with Boaz. Are you seeing the Lord? See, God saw that one and said, eh? You are not legitimate. You are not even supposed to be in this thing, but I will put you there. Why? You have decided to follow a woman who follows the Lord of Israel. Even though that woman first was in disobedience. But as that woman was returning in repentance, you followed. Till tomorrow morning, Ruth becomes the woman who is in the lineage of our master, Jesus Christ. What took her into that? Discipleship. Very important. Esther and Mordecai. Your daddy is dead, and so what? If you look up to God, there is another father. There is another one that will raise you. I was shocked to hear that even that Esther became a queen. Hope you know she's not the queen of one nation. Hope you know the husband was the king of several nations of the world. So Esther was like the first lady of the world, like Miss World. Yet Miss World listened to a gate man. Somebody who sit at the gates. Mordecai. Hope you know as Esther was the queen, whatever Mordecai still say, no wonder she remained relevant, not like Vashti. Discipleship. Elisha and Elijah. Do we know the story?
Yes.
Elisha did not only took mantle, he served Elijah. He learned from Elijah. To the point that the sons of the prophet said, your master, hope you know it's your master,
Yeah.
Your discipler will be taken from you. And you're going to step into this church. I know about that. He served. Paul and Barnabas. Oh, there's, I would have loved to stay here, but I don't want to stay. But read your Bible again. Who introduced Paul to the church? Who introduced him? First Ananias. Hope you know the Bible says he stayed with them many days. Some people just think Paul was not discipled. You are joking. It's only that being a lawyer, he was an orator. He knew the law. He had the passion. But not that he didn't learn. After that, he was to go to Jerusalem to go and convince the brethren at the headquarters. Who introduced him? Barnabas. No, he could have entered by himself. Who would have received him? Nobody. You are trying to force your way into so many things. And it's painful. Because you did not submit under a hand that will introduce you easily. Timothy and Paul. Did you see Paul did the same thing? Timothy and Paul. That is clear also. Luke and Paul. Luke is the writer. You know, sometimes we think that Paul wrote everything. Yeah, Paul did the writing. But go and check. You will see that Luke used to help him and some other brethren to write. Luke followed Paul. An act of the apostle was written by Brother Luke. Finally, Jesus Christ and his disciples. Nobody just arrives into greatness. Everyone has to be made. You cannot enter easily into the plan of God except you submit to the moody hands of disciples for guidance, accountability, and training. Discipleship is about intimacy, so never go into discipleship with a single brother and sister. You can only learn from them. Don't be intimate with them. Amen? As we close, I need you to pay attention before we pray. Discovery of purpose. I'm tired of, I don't even know what God is asking me to do. I don't know how the Lord, I don't know if it's my mind. I don't know. Listen to this. Every purpose of anything is determined by the creator or manufacturer. This chair, is it the one that determines its purpose?
No.
Who determined the purpose? So when the manufacturer was making it, every peculiarity it has, please pay attention, the uniqueness, the peculiarity was factored in mind alongside that purpose. Why should it have four legs? It's a chair. Why should it have resting back? It's a chair. Are you following me now? See, the manufacturer already know the purpose, so the design carried the intention. Are you with me now?
Yes.
The created cannot determine its own existence and essence. Can this chair determine its own essence of existence?
No.
Who determines that? It is very easy to know why you are living. It is one of the most easiest things in life. Having observed the principle of becoming a genuine disciple, do you know, for example, when you lose all you have and you give it to the Lord, do you know, look at the next statement. The Holy Spirit then what? Switches over the responsibility of guiding and instructing you. Let me tell you what you begin to enjoy. Number one, you will find that effortlessly, even if you're the type that is still having problem in hearing God, because you've totally released your life, Holy Spirit will switch over and just, you know, remember that message that says, I am in the driver's seat, let me lead. You see Holy Spirit stand in front of you. Anything that is now not, because you are still learning how to hear him, you will see him block road so you can turn back. You are not following me. Circumstance will begin to change. You are going like this because you've said, Lord, it's no more my life. Please, it's your life. It's my life. Okay. You find out that you are going this direction. Because you've not learned how to. He's still going to make you learn. But he knows that now you have not learned. It's a school. You have to still train you on how to learn. So now, road will block. For you to say, what's happening? You now see another door open. Why? The life is now for him. So I love that scripture that says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him. What will he do?
That's the first step. It's the primary step. The second step is that he will now be doing everything possible to introduce you to those who will train you on how to hear him. Your discovery of living becomes like this. You won't struggle again. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
See, I want you to know that if you are not living for Christ, you are living a useless life. So as you are trained in how to listen to him, you can never miss it. Now, I will stop here as we pray. Recommended text, you can see, I've shared with you before, How to Be Led by the Spirit, Kenneth Hagin, The Integrity of God's Word, Billy Akoni. And conclusion, discipleship is the only means by which God makes men fit into the purpose he has for them. The only means. You must grow from just being a Christian to a genuine disciple. Hallelujah. Oh.